What's up, guys? Episode 296 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is having mic problems. It seems like his mic is fully broke. We thought maybe it was Discord because he couldn't connect with a friend of his on here, but it's not working on the PS4 either. So it sounds like he has to get a new microphone.
Rip.
No good, but at least, you know, there's plenty of options to go for. Especially if you just want to get a new headset in its entirety, so... But yeah, here we are. We had a TGS go on, but there really wasn't a ton of news from it, funny enough. I mean, we had the Resident Evil 2 story trailer, which I thought was really funny, because I'm like, but everybody knows the story of Resident Evil 2, so why would you have a story trailer? But
right.
It did show a new look to Ada Wong, and seemed like some stuff was a little more involved, story cutscenes, it looks like, especially with William Birkin. So I'd be curious to see how that all plays out. And then they had another trailer for Devil May Cry 5, which apparently, when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, they're introducing this new male character. But I guess it's a new playable character, according to the articles. So I didn't realize that from the trailer. I thought it was just like, because it says, like, let me introduce you to the client. So I thought, like, oh, this is the guy who's hiring Dante to do whatever. I didn't realize, oh, this is a third playable character. So that threw me off a bit when I read the articles on that, because, like, I didn't get that impression from the trailer. But there's a bunch of gameplay with Dante. You can see that. What else was there? They showed Kingdom Hearts box art. Take another trailer. Well, I didn't watch it, of course, but I'm trying to think what else they had at TGS that was pretty big. I know they had a bunch of merch for Death Stranding, but no Death Stranding trailer. So I think Kojima did say he wouldn't have any trailer, but he would be there.
Weren't they supposed to have some big, like, stage presentation thing or something at TGS?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I think it still might be going on, right? Like, today might be the last day. I can't remember. I thought it went to the 23rd. So maybe there could be some more stuff. But I haven't seen any news articles posted that were updates or anything. But yeah, nothing major, I don't think. They did announce the PlayStation Classic, which is going to be just like the Nintendo Classic and SNES Classics, but for PlayStation, obviously. It's a cute little mini PlayStation console. It's $100, and they've only announced 5 of the 20 preloaded games that are coming on it, and it releases on the 3rd of December. So far, they've announced FF7, because of course, Tekken 3, Wild Arms, Jumping Flash, Ridge Racer Type 4, and then there'll be other, quote, legendary titles. But as someone pointed out, I was listening to on another podcast, like, a lot of this is decided by the lawyers, because you got to work out the licensing issues if there's music in a game or whatever, like, to get something, especially if the IP is owned by someone else now. It's like, like, are they going to have the original Crash Trilogy? Like, if they do, one, they got to work with Activision, and two, that's also weird, because they just had the Crash Remastered, the Insane Trilogy, so why would you have that? But yeah, so, it, like, and then will they put Resident Evil 2 on there, or Resident Evil 1? Like, they already have a Resident Evil 2 remake coming out, so why would you put that one on there? But, yeah, it's, it comes with an HDMI cord, USB cable, and two original controllers, so these aren't the DualShocks, just the original ones. And then, it doesn't come with the AC adapter, but it's just a USB AC adapter. So it's not proprietary. So you just probably have one lying around your house. Gonna just plug it in. But I'm curious what the other 15 games are going to be. I mean, is there anything from the PS1 era outside of what they announced that you would want if you were interested in this console?
I mean, the fact that they're not including DualShock controllers kind of limits a lot of the games, because it's like, I'd like to see, like, the Ape Escape games, because I used to own those, and apparently I don't anymore. I lost them at some point down the line, so it's like, that'd be really cool, but those were the ones that came out with the DualShock to utilize the analog. So the fact that it's just the original controllers, I don't even know. I mean, let's be honest, just load the Final Fantasy games on it and be done with it. And they're only, I guess, only the first Wild Arms. They're not going to put the other ones on there or anything like that. So, and Spyro's coming out in November, the HD, so it would be silly, again, just like the Crash, to put that on there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I would love Metal Gear Solid just because it's so tied to PlayStation, but I played a game a ton, but I can't currently play it right now because on PS3 I could, because I had it, the PS1 Classic. But so I could see do like Metal Gear, Symphony of the Night. I probably would really like Resident Evil 2, considering they're not doing the multiple two-part campaigns in the remake, the A and B storylines. And then I wouldn't mind something like Driver. Maybe Driver 2, Twisted Metal 2. And then I'd love to get like Tomb Raider 2 or Tomb Raider Last Revelation. I prefer Last Revelation, but I wouldn't mind that. I'm trying to think of what else. Because PlayStation 1 was an era where I owned a lot of games, but I owned all the games in a franchise. Like I had every Tomb Raider, every Driver, like every Resident Evil, all the Oddworld games. Like I'd love to see the original, like maybe, or Oddworld Abe's Exodus. Maybe not do the original, do the second one, since New and Tasty's already on PS4. I'd love to play that, and who knows when the remake of Exodus will come out. Or you could do the original Odyssey, because I mean the game will play slightly different than the remake, because the remake is a continuous side scroller where it was a still screen in the original, so that would really change up your style. And plus the original only had 99 Mudokons. The remake, I think they jumped it up to 199 or 150, something like that, so they had way more secret rooms, which threw me off. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, like, how quickly they announce. Like, it's odd that you wouldn't just announce it right away. I mean, December is not that far off, and unless you're going to have, like, if people pre-order and the stores run out of stock, unless you're going to have multiple waves of new pre-orders and units allocated, it's like, well, you're going to sell out potentially before everything's announced. So it's like, once I get know all 20 games and be like, oh, well, now I'm kind of interested in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the thought is behind not releasing all the games at once, because when the other mini consoles came out, they just released the full list of games that were on it, so people could decide if they were going to buy it or not. Like, if it's worth buying it if they're going to play more than, like, two games on it, you know, rather than just, like, go seek out those games and find a way to play them on their own. So it's like, if you're not going to release the full list of games, some people probably aren't going to be incentivized to buy it. Nobody's going to pay $100 to play Final Fantasy VII if that's the only game that they're interested in right now.
Right. Yeah, it's a interesting tactic, but hopefully they just won't take, you know, do the next 5 in October and then another 5 in November and then at the end of November do the last 5. It's like, don't do that. Because I could see potentially getting it, but it kind of depends on what it has. Like, I would, because mainly for that same thing where I kind of want to get the NES Classic for my kid, primarily, and also because there's some games on it I am interested in, but there's not much on the SNES Classic I'd want, except for Super Mario World, but so if they ever restock those, I know they restocked the Super NES a while back, and I almost picked one up, but I didn't, but yeah, it's like, it all depends on what's on here. And of course, a lot of people point out, like, well, the Vita can basically play every PS1 game, so just play in a Vita. And I do have my Vita, and I do have Symphony of the Night on it, and I think I might have Metal Gear in FF7, possibly, but yeah, I haven't turned on my Vita in forever. But, yeah, be interested to see what the other games are, and then also, because it was less than a year before Nintendo announced the Super NES, right? Classic?
Yeah, they were about a year-ish apart, I think.
It felt like they were much closer. Like, it was only, like, half a year or 8 months or something like that, but I could be wrong. I'd have to look up the articles, find out, but I felt like it was pretty quick.
It was before the NES Classics were actually, like, reliably in stock.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'd wonder if, like, okay, are they going to do a PS2 Classic? And then, if they do, how long are they going to wait, kind of thing, but yeah, we'll see. And then as far as new releases, before we get into the regular news, I know Valkyria Chronicles 4 came out this week. It's been getting pretty good reviews. I've never played one of those games. I know they did the remaster of the first one on PS4. And I almost thought about picking it up because I've always been kind of interested in those games. But, yeah, I didn't do that. Yeah, I don't see... Well, if there is anything new that's big, it's not on the front page of the PlayStation Store, so I can't see it. Obviously, last week, Friday, Tomb Raider came out. So that was kind of an odd timing thing. But yeah, I think that's it as far as new games. I don't see any other ones. But yeah, on to the regular news. It looks like PUBG might be heading to PS4 soon, according to a trademark or a listing rather on a Korean's rating board suggested it. Let's see. This is, I'm trying to see if there's anybody as a Twitter user has spied the title listed over on the Korean's rating board and suggested the game could be finally coming to Sony's console. So no other info there, just interesting stuff, because typically when you see like ratings or stuff like that, it usually means that, oh yeah, or trademarks for things like that's a lot of people think that N64 mini is going to be coming out soon because of filings by Nintendo for the controller and I think also a name they saw. So let's see, Final Fantasy composer
Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah, he's stopping work due to health problems.
That sucks. I feel bad for him.
Yeah. They don't quote him on this article. That kind of bugs me. Because now I can't. Yeah, he did a letter on his blog, like, strong, you know, to my dearest fans, and he kind of talks about how. I have found myself blessed with countless opportunities, you know, from composing new works and everything here. The resulting fatigue, however, has finally caught up with me, and I find it mentally and physically difficult to go on at my current pace. After giving serious consideration to all options, I have decided to take an extended leave of absence and give my mind and body the time they need to properly mend. Good, you gotta focus on your health, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's like... I know a lot of people were bummed, but of course you always want someone to take care of himself versus just wanting them to keep pushing through.
Yeah.
Then let's see. The PlayStation Now got an update where you can download PS4 and PS2 games to play offline. This went live this week. So you can download the games and then you can play it offline, but you will have to ping, have a connection to at least ping that you have a PlayStation Now account. I think that's, they said, like every 4 days. I'm trying to see that. Let me open up the details. So it's not
better than every 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Which makes sense, because obviously it's like if you have PlayStation Now, you have an internet connection anyways. So it's not like you're going to ever not have it. And obviously if you go on vacation, you take it with you or something, and you're like, oh, it's a 5-day vacation, but I only can play this game offline for so long. But
oh no, I'll have to spend the day of my vacation out doing something. Ah.
Yeah. What's funny though is like you don't need PlayStation Plus to play the games if they have online functionality, as long as you have a PlayStation Now account. But if you want to download your saves off the cloud, you do need PlayStation Plus to download them to your console. Because that is, of course, part of the PlayStation Plus thing, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's good for people. I don't know if that'll increase how many people use the PlayStation Now service. And then I wonder if that means maybe in the future they'll do a PlayStation Plus / Now bundle when the PS5 launches. Because I feel like, well, then maybe if they included some more backwards compatible games, because right now it's only PS2, but it's all the PS2 games that are on the PSN currently. It's not like anything that's not there. But yeah, I could see it potentially being a much better value proposition, I suppose, if there's a bunch of games that you're interested in trying, because it kind of gives you, you know, try some games, don't like it, don't worry about it, because it's part of the subscription. And then kind of like Netflix, you know, watch movies, like, it wasn't that good, but I just got the disc as part of my plan, so I'll just send it back and get the next one. But I'd be interested to see how many more people use the service now that it has this functionality. Let's see, what else? Apparently, players have discovered a mistakenly included alternative ending to Tomb Raider. I didn't read the full article because it contains spoilers, but apparently the game does have an official ending, but there was an ending that wasn't supposed to be in the game that was mistakenly included in launch copies of the title. I don't know if that means they've since patched out the ending they didn't want to include, because I know the game did get some updates, but I don't remember reading that. As reported by Kotaku... Okay, here we go. So there's an update to it. As reported by Kotaku, the day one patch for Shadow of the Tomb Raider actually... actually included the proper ending. I guess they did patch, but some games that didn't obviously have the day one patch because they don't have internet, saw this other. So I'm really curious what it is, but I can't read about it because...
That's super weird that, like, yeah, if you didn't patch your game, you got a different ending than everybody else.
Yeah, that's funny. It's like, they're like, oops, so I think it's supposed to only be potentially a post-credits scene, not like the actual, you know, proper ending. I think it's just a button, but I can't read it because I haven't finished the game, so I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah, so I just need a, you know, Siri, remind me in a week to look back at this article. But I'm really curious what it is, because it could be something like, it's not that big, it's just a button, and then like a totally different button, and then or it could be the ending's entirely lore becomes evil, I don't know. But yeah, I'm really, really curious what it's supposed to be. Moving on, THQ Nordic acquires the Alone in the Dark and Act of War properties. Apparently, boom, boom. Not much more. But yeah, they acquired Alone in the Dark and Act of War. Apparently, those were Atari properties. So there they go, taking more stuff. And then we just, of course, found out, I don't see any news articles on because I think it happened too late in the day, but Telltale let off a ton of people, and they've canceled multiple games. And then they also said, as a follow-up, that they're canceling the rest of The Walking Dead that they're working on.
They canceled, everything. They fired, 250 people, and then there's, 25 people working on a Minecraft thing for Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, to meet contractual obligations to Netflix or whatever.
Like, overnight, basically.
Yeah, that was insane. It happened, super fast. All of a sudden I started seeing, on Twitter, just people talking about it and, people quote-tweeting these articles. Because it was a rumor that went by. And then everybody from Telltale was confirming.
Yeah. I guess, some people were saying that they had been having trouble for a while, and there was, a recent... small group of people that were laid off, and then all of a sudden it was just no, we're closed, basically, and 20 people of our core team are left to do something else. And it's just holy shit.
Yeah, because they were working on a Stranger Things game, the next season of Wolf Among Us, and to cancel, and I think they were going to do another Batman, but then it's also to cancel, because there are two episodes in I think, right, of The Walking Dead, or are they only one and they teased episode two? But it's
they were like on the last season or something like that. The last two part thing was supposed to come out, and initially they were saying this is still going to come out. There's a skeleton team working on it, and then later in the day it was confirmed that the team that's left isn't working on it. They're working on the Minecraft thing, and then everything else is just totally canceled.
Yeah, sounds like Michael's playing with aluminum foil.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. It just sounds really funny. At first, it sounded like a shopping cart, like it was just being tossed around. But yeah, that sucks. And I know someone replied to, like, someone on Twitter's like, THQ, you know what to do. And I'm like,
yeah,
that would be interesting. But and then there was another company that had a closure too, right before that.
I can't remember
the name of it, but I kept seeing, like, because Sony Santa Monica's like, you know, we're hiring. We'll take on. I forget. Oh, it was the Just Cause, or not Just Cause. Who is the dev? I'm totally blanking on the zombie game, Dead Rising. That studio.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They got shut down. Square shut them down, right? Because they were owned by Square, I think.
I
don't know why I don't see the article in this. It didn't pop up in my newsfeed when I was scrolling. But yeah, they got shut down. And then...
I totally forgot that was so recent.
Yeah, because that was Wednesday, possibly. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm trying to see if they can... Yeah, it's tough. No one's it's got the article right up in front. I can't, like, just filter. But, yeah, it's, like, that happened and this happens. It's nuts. But, yeah. Of course, everybody reaches out and said, we're hiring. So, hopefully, these people can find work.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people, especially a lot of Blizzard people, were like, we are hiring very, very, very many positions. So, tell everybody in these studios to apply because we will probably hire them.
Yeah. It's nuts. It feels like... A lot of times when these studio closures or when people get laid off, I feel like it happens like in these waves. Like it's never like, oh, just the one. It's always like one and then someone else or something it feels like. But yeah, that, you know, hopefully they find their work. Let's see, what else? I thought there was something. Fortnite, a new Fortnite patch went live this week, of course, as per usual. Introduced a new item. Wasn't anything major. But the cube event did conclude the... So, when the comet, I think I talked about this with... I might have talked about it last week. With Isley. I think it might have happened then, I'm not sure. But there was like this building in Tilted Towers that got destroyed by one of the comet shards when the comet came down and crashed into the map and going into season 4. And over the course of this season, it's been getting rebuilt. And it was a great place to land because it had a lot of materials, some good loot and everything. And a friend of mine loved to land there. It just got finished, became a retail store, had all these balloons all over the place for its grand opening. The cube rolls through Tilted Towers, goes up and just destroys half the building. And then destroys nothing else. It just wrecked half it. And I joked about it before it happened. I was like, man, that'd be so funny if the cube just went in there and destroyed that building because it was starting to go through Tilted. And then 2 hours later it happened and just wiped half of it's gone. It's so funny. And then people were joking like, this building should get destroyed every season. But yeah, then the cube went up, went right next to Loot Lake, rolled into Loot Lake and turned into a giant bath bomb and dissolved into the water and changed all of Loot Lake into a giant bounce pad, essentially. It's got this glowing purple effect. It looks like a portal from when you're on the bus and has like depth to it. It looks like those rocks, that have like, that look like glass and they look like they have like a cavern inside them. It has that kind of look from the top, obviously not the cavern, but just the best way I could kind of describe it. And then season six kicks off on the 27th. They released the Valkyrie skin, as well as a Ice Wyvern glider to kind of, I guess, kick off the end of the season, because whatever's going to happen, it'll be interested to see what happens, because typically they always do a cinematic showing, you know, what kicks off the new season. Like when the meteor or the comet finally hit, there was a cutscene that they show where it comes down, destroys everything. Then the same for the rift when it changed the map. They had a trailer for that. So I'm curious what's going to happen here, because you've been teasing Ragnarok with the season pass. I mean, the final skin in the season pass in the battle pass was the Ragnarok skin, and then you release this Valkyrie skin and this Ice Wyvern. So I was thinking, like, that'd be kind of cool if it was like a Fimbulwinter kind of thing and the whole map was covered in snow for this season.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be pretty dope, because I feel like the desert section of the map would look kind of cool, snow all over it, and I feel like that would be an interesting change, because the seasons only last for 10 weeks, so they could always melt the snow, or over the course of the season, the snow will start to melt. Like, melt first in the desert, and then in other regions of the map, it could start to slowly disappear. But I feel like that would be really interesting if that's how they changed the map. And it's funny, someone linked to a video with Jeff Keighley back at E3, and someone from Epic was talking about how, this is back when they were working on season 5, and they're like, yeah, working on season 5, comes out in a month, and then we have plans for season 6, 7, and 8. So they've got ideas for the next 3 seasons. Obviously they can change over time, but it's like, maybe whatever they have going on, they've always had planned for quite a while. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens. The bounce pad is such a huge change, because I mean, when the comet was coming in the last week, a bunch of meteorites were falling on the map, which is really cool, dynamic change to where things would get destroyed at random. You had no idea. But when the rift came, it was this cool effect in the sky. It looked really awesome, made this interesting noise when you looked at it, and then it started taking parts away from the map, like signs and other objects, and then would bring stuff in. So it wasn't anything game changing. But the Loot Lake change, like, if a circle ends there, it's like, man, it's a total change, because you get that thing super bounce bad, especially the teams of 50 mode, when they end on that on Loot Lake, it's like so crazy. Everybody bouncing around, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because this is like one season where I have no idea what's gonna happen. Like a comet, oh, it'll destroy something, but then it introduced hop rocks, and there's a bunch of craters everywhere. So it's like, okay. And then the rift totally changed the map. So yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens here. We just have to wait till the 27th. But other than that, there is a flash sale going on concurrent with the other sale that's going on. So it's kind of throwing me off, because there's two sales still happening. There's the, the pub party sale, which is up to 60% off for regular folks and 70% for PlayStation Plus. That ends on the 25th. This has stuff like Abzu. This is not sorted by... Can I sort by popularity? No, I can't. I wish I could do that, because that would be much easier. Because when you do it alphabetically, it's like, well, none of this really helps me. looks like a lot of these are possibly multiplayer games. A lot of games I haven't heard of, like Vikings, Wolves of Midgard, Dungeons 3, Valhalla, Hills Definitive Edition. But then it's got stuff like Tropico 5, Payday 2, Adrift. I should pick up Adrift. Drift's on sale for PlayStation now. Interesting. Bunch of stuff. Sniper Elite 3. If you've never played that, that's interesting. Great deals from 3 of our favorite... it's a publisher sale. Okay, that's why. But yeah, then the flash sales ends on the 24th at 8 a.m. And you can get Battlefront 2 for $10. You can get Dark Souls Remastered for $27.99. Let's see what else there is. Just show me all the deals. Ooh, they have that Unraveled bundle on sale. See all game deals. See what else there is. MLB The Show 18's on sale for $20. Far Cry 3 Classic Edition's on sale. Let's see. Earthfall is on sale. I feel like that game just came out. Far Cry Primal, $16.50. Let's see. Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition is a... or an anniversary collection, rather. It's on sale. $30. Tacoma's on sale for $8. Like I said, you get the Unravel bundle for $21. Vampire's on sale, $40. Yakuza 6 is $36. Yeah, a lot of Far Cry... oh, we already talked about that one. It's just the... oh, yeah, Far Cry Primal's on sale for $15. A lot of stuff. Surviving Mars. Surviving Mars is supposed to be pretty good. Although I think I was going to get on Mac. Lumines Remastered, $11.24. Although the Tetris game does come out soon, so you probably hold off on that. But yeah, lots of sales been going on recently. Which I guess is good. You always want to have different sales all the time. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's movie sales that go along with the game sales. I usually never hop in the movie sales, though, because typically the movie deals are always like, oh, it's just a cheaper rental. Typically not. Although this one, it looks to be a WB publisher sale, so you can get stuff like Hidden Figures for $9.99, Radio Player One for $9.99, Death of Superman, $9.99, so, yeah, and TV deals as well. Yeah, aside from that, that's not much else. I'm trying to think if there's anything else on top of my head, and I can't. I tried looking on the... gaming news app and I didn't see anything that stood out. Yeah, nothing. I'm sure I'll remember something later, but yeah. So yeah, that's it for the news. What if what have you been playing recently?
We jumped back into 14 because 4.4 came out this week.
All right, yeah, I saw you wanted to transfer him to Balmung.
Yeah, got him transferred to Balmung, and he's getting caught up and stuff. And as he's catching up, I've just been kind of poking away at the 4.4 story missions and stuff. It's actually a really, really good patch. I haven't done any of the new Omega stuff because I skipped the last tier just because it came out at like a weird time. I was doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. But the new story dungeon is like really good. It's really cool looking. The music's really good. The boss fight's really cool. There's a really cool like solo instance fight that you do. It's really awesome. So, and from what I've seen of everybody else, the new Omega tier is like godly awesome. All the fights are really cool, and the new Primal's really cool. So, really good patch so far. I'm kind of excited to finish the story stuff because it's going to start getting real, real, real good because FanFest is coming up. They're going to announce a new expansion. So.
Oh yeah, when's when FanFest take place?
It is November 15th and 16th, or 16th and 17th, something like that. It's like mid-November.
Nice. Yeah, we could just see what people... You said it's going to be a new expansion, or...?
Well, yeah, most likely, since that's kind of what they usually, so far, have held the FanFest for, is to announce a new expansion, and we're already moving into, like, a huge new area of the map that everybody's been really looking forward to going to for a long time. So it's kind of building up that the next expansion is going to be in this new area, and there's going to be more of the world map opening up.
Nice. Yeah, do you think there'll be some new jobs announced as well, or just an expansion?
There haven't been any real hints or anything. I think they've hinted at maybe another new job and potentially a new race, but nothing's been like heavy-handedly hinted at in the story or anything like that yet. But a lot of people are hoping for like Puppet Master and Blue Mage, especially because of a character that was introduced last patch seemed kind of Blue Magey a little bit, maybe. I don't really think so, but it's possible, I guess. But so a lot of people are hoping for that. But if they do announce a new expansion, there will definitely be, there'll probably be new jobs. Hopefully a tank and a healer, because tank and healer is kind of outpaced by DPS at this point. So that'd be really nice to see. Even if it's just one of each and that's all that's introduced, I think that would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my cousin, he was playing it for a bit, but then once the Destiny Forsaken came out, he stopped playing 14, so I haven't heard anything from him regarding any of the the content.
Well, the patch just came out on Tuesday, so he'll probably jump into it soon.
Yeah, we'll see. He seems to be pretty deep to Destiny currently, but I know at some point he'll eventually just stop and burn out again. Also forgot there was a bunch of Red Dead 2 coverage, so people can look that up online. A bunch of, especially if you listen to any other podcast, there's a lot of people talking about it. So that happened this week for the press. I think there was something else I'm missing. But anyways. I'm playing, after I finished Spider-Man, I started playing Tomb Raider. I'm not that far into it. I guess it doesn't really give me a percentage, because unfortunately, like, it tells you a percentage when you go to load in, but it's like the percentage of the region you're in, I guess. So it's like, because I logged in the other day, it's like, oh, you're 26% progress. And I was like, how am I possibly 26% in? I'm not even that far in the game. And I looked and was like, oh, it's because the collectibles I've got in the map reach I'm in, I have 26% so far. And I really like the difficulty options they have, like we had talked about before it launched, how they have that, like, puzzle difficulty options and the enemy difficulty options and the exploration stuff. I thought, oh, that's really cool. The problem I have with it is that it ties too much to the exploration difficulty. So, like, not only does it make, it makes, like, exploration gets rid of the white paint showing you where to go, which is fine. It also gets rid of Laura talking to herself as she tries to figure puzzles out. It removes highlighting of the interactive puzzle components, which is fine. Like, all of those are fine. But on top of that, it also doesn't allow you to highlight resources around the map, like healing herbs or focus herbs, or if there's a box that you can get some salvage from, that doesn't show up when you use the survival instincts. And I'm like, that one small thing really bugged me, because I'm like, man, I don't like that at all, because I want to see those boxes so I can get that salvage up, because I don't want to be like, oh, because I want the puzzle and navigation stuff gone. I don't want that gone. So that kind of bugged me. And there is apparently a perk you can get that lets you see those things, even if you're playing on, I forget what they call it, like one with the jungle or something like that. I just think it's a difficulty mode it's called. But I don't have enough skill points to get that perk yet, because I have to buy all the perks around it to get it. So I'm like, I guess once I get that, then I can go and turn off or turn on the hardest difficulty for exploration, because at least I'll still have that functionality I like. Because I would love to turn off, like, the white markers and puzzle-solving stuff. But, I mean, most of the puzzles, if you do the puzzles at a good enough pace, like you're solving them, she doesn't say anything. And then she typically only ever says stuff when you hit the survival instinct. So, like, if there's a waypoint to go meet someone, if you hit at one point, like, I was hitting it because I was looking for salvage items, and it's like, and she'll say stuff like, oh, I should go meet up with Jonah over here. And then every time I'd hit it, like, I should meet up with Jonah, kind of like a variation of that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always happen, especially if there's no, like, that was like in a portion of the game where I had to get there. Like, there was no major objective. Like, I needed to move the story forward, so it kind of made sense. But there was like I did a major puzzle at one point, and she didn't say anything. Like, the only thing she said was, like, I hit a button and it made the floor fall out from under her. And then after she ran away, she's like, that was close. Like, that was it. But she never said, I bet this does that, or I should look over here. Like, I did it all on my own. And I'm doing a puzzle right now where, she hasn't really said anything. But she did see something at one point where, like, I knew, obviously, I had to link a rope between two objects because it was, the ropes are white, so they might as well be white paint. So I could tell, like, oh, clearly I should tie this to that. Like, I was going to do it anyways. But as I got close to the object, she does say, oh, it's a windmill thing. I should try tying it to the piece to see if it'll move. And I'm like, I was already in process of doing that. So it's like, even if she, that's not too helpful if I was someone who needed help there. But
yeah
that was the only thing I was bummed on, because I kept the hard difficulty on everything else except that one. I took it just one step down because I was like, I don't want to miss the salvage items, because I'm like, I don't be like, oh well, all my guns weren't upgraded to max because there are so many hidden salvage things all over the place. I couldn't find them all. Like, luckily the plants they give you healing items are pretty obvious. But yeah, some of that hidden stuff. And the one thing I hate in this game, as far as resource collection, which I don't know if it was a problem in the other Tomb Raiders, I don't remember it anyways, is that if I dig up a buried treasure, like I stumble upon it, if there's an item it's going to give me that I'm already maxed on, that item falls to the ground and I don't get it. And I'm like, damn it, especially when I see it's a rare material. I'm like, so I lost out on this rare material because I'm already capped because I didn't spend it on something because I was waiting. It's like, or I didn't have enough resources for the other components I needed. I was like, I was so bummed. I was like, and there's the inventory in the main menu. It shows you like all the different items you have, like your healing, your focus herbs, your how many branches you have to make arrows, the gunpowder, all that stuff. It shows you how much you have, and if the number's green, that means you have max. So you can carry 35 healing herbs, you can carry 35 wood, you can 35 focus herbs, yada yada. But it doesn't tell you what the max is. It's not like 35/35. It's just a green 35.
Oh, and I'm like, so you don't know until you reach that number.
Right. So like if I'm hunting down some rare animal skin and then I go to get it and it's like, oh no, you already have cap. It's like, or like it dropped three, but I can only pick up one. It's like, well, that's two that just fell to the floor that I can't pick up now. It's like, if I'd known that, I would have just spent the other ones. Cause now it's like, it's like this negative reinforcement to make me spend my gear, my stuff upgrading just because even though I don't want to upgrade currently, it's like, well, I have to, or else if I stumble across it, I'm not going to be able to pick it up. Yeah. Luckily, it does stop you, like, if you find these salvage boxes or these urns that have oil in them that you use to upgrade as well. If you have max on those, it just won't let you break those boxes open so they don't fall to the floor. It goes, she'll be like, I don't have enough room to carry this. And like, okay, that's great. But the hidden treasure, it won't do that. And then the animals, when I go to skin them, it won't do that, but... just like
that sucks too. It just like goes off into the void rather than just like staying in the box or wherever you're trying to pick it up from.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I guess I mean, it's these hidden stashes or caches. So it's like, okay, if I don't get them, I guess that just means I have to go hunt for the item. If it's an animal thing, but it's just like it bugs me that, oh, I found this thing, I'm gonna get rewarded. But I have a cap, apparently, I didn't even realize I have, because I don't open up the menu and look at my inventory at all times, because I'm exploring, so. Also, I hate when I realize I can't pick up, like, five different boxes of salvaged components. I'm like, oh, now I have to wait till I get to the next fire pit, upgrade a bunch of stuff I wasn't going to upgrade anyways, just so I can go back and pick up that other salvage item, so I feel like I'm not wasting it. But yeah, and the other thing that's kind of annoying is that they have a bunch of different outfits. Like you can wear outfits from the last game. You could be the character model from the 2013 Tomb Raider, which is crazy how much different it looks versus the Rise and Shadow versions, considering they were made on the PS or the next gen consoles.
Mm-hmm.
But the game does have a crafting mechanic for outfits, and like at one point in the story, like she gets attacked by this leopard, so she skins the leopard after you win the fight, and then she makes like this piece that goes over her upper body and some pieces that go over her shins, and they have bonuses to them, like, oh, it's harder for enemies to, they're slower to spot you if they're in line of sight. And it's like, oh, that's cool. It's nice it has this little outfit crafting thing. It wasn't in the last couple games, so it adds a little extra depth to it. But if you wear any of the other outfits, it doesn't put those crafted ones over it. It just replaces them because they're considered full body outfits with no effects. So it's like, I can't wear this other cool, like, tactical uniform for Laura and have the leopard skin stuff over it, because the game goes, nah, it's, you can't do that.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so I'm like, that kind of bugs me. Not that her default outfit is, you know, bad or anything. It's just like, why do you give me the options to add these? It's like, the trade-off is I can't have these small bonuses from the crafted items.
Yeah, they're like glamour only.
Yeah. It's funny, they also have two outfits from Tomb Raider 2. They have her base Tomb Raider 2 outfit, and then the one when she's in Tibet. So it's got the snow jacket.
Oh, that's cool.
And she looks all polygonal. The head looks huge. because I guess it was back in the PS1 days, even though I don't remember her head being that ginormous. But they also have her Angel Darkness skin, and that's the only Tomb Raider game I've ever played. And it's not canonical anymore, so there's no need to play it. I did that skin because I'm like, oh, PS2, you know, it's kind of a middle ground. It looks pretty decent. And I was curious if the mouth moved, like if they modeled that at all. Like, obviously, the PS1 graphics models, they're not going to, the mouths don't move. So I was like, okay, I'll wear the Angel Darkness skin. So I changed it out of fire pit. Then I go on, I'm like, okay, I just need her to talk. And she's hanging out with, like, her friend Joan is there because it's early in the game. I'm like, hopefully they'll have a conversation, because when she talks in conversation with him, her mouth does move. But nothing happens. And then we go through this pathway that's blocked, and then immediately afterwards she gets ambushed by this leopard. And I'm like, she's screaming and yelling, the camera's like all tight and focused, and it's like biting at her back. It's like the bear attack on Leo in that one movie. I'm totally blanking on the name. It's like totally vicious, but it's a PS2 character model, and there's no expression in her eyes, and the mouth isn't moving, and there's no blood.
It's just like the
base model. Yeah, it's like, and then afterwards, it leads to this whole cutscene. Like, there's no break in between, and then we're sitting around a fireplace, and they're having a serious conversation, and Jonah's like looking at her back. He's like, your back looks pretty bad. But of course, when the camera goes around to show me, like, nothing's wrong with it, because I'm the PS2 model, and it looks so ridiculous, and the mouth didn't end up moving when they're having that conversation. But luckily then that kicked into a level that pulled like an Uncharted when she was a little kid, and then when it loaded back, the skin was off. Granted, I did quit and reload the game in the middle of that flashback sequence, so yeah, it took it out. I'm like, oh god, I don't have to wait to get to another campfire, but it's like, I won't be doing that again. I feel like it'd be the same case if in Spider-Man you wore one of the craziest outfits they have, and then you're just in a cutscene and he's just wearing this ridiculous outfit.
Like this super dramatic cutscene, and you're just in this really awful dress. It's like Glamours in 14. You're in this like really dramatic cutscene, and all the story is happening, and your character's naked.
Yeah, I thought about, like, if I could go back and redo Surprise, I thought it'd be kind of funny, because there's like, now there is one cutscene, I think, where they make you wear the white spider outfit. Like, there's one section of the game near the end where they make you wear, you have to wear this one outfit, so you can't do it at all. So I think when it goes into the ending there, the end of the game, you're in the white spider. But there are a bunch of cutscenes where I'm like, man, there's this one outfit that's like, it's kind of like Spider-Man's like Ghost Rider kind of thing. So it's this white skull with blue flames and a white weird looking outfit. I'm like, I kind of want to just wear that in cutscenes and just to see how ridiculous it looks. But yeah, I'm enjoying Tomb Raider. I like, it's definitely more exploration heavy than the other ones, so far at least. It definitely kicks off right away. I mean, it starts median res, and then there's just, it's like, bam, the first thing you do in the game is like, okay, apocalypse triggered, and then now we're just trying to solve everything. But yeah, so far it's I'm liking it. I haven't been playing it a bunch over the week because I keep stopping to play Fortnite with my buddies every time they log in. I'm like, oh, I'll play some of that. But yeah, the HDR looks really nice. I'm liking the new stealth mechanics. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it keeps going. Because right now where I'm at, I'm like, is this the entirety of the game is going to be on this one location? Because it doesn't seem like this place is that big. Like, obviously, the reboot took place on just one island, but it was, like, a pretty big island. Mm-hmm. And then, I guess, technically, the second one did take place in just one giant area. But it was, like, at least a bunch of new environments all over that. So I'm curious where this goes. But I'll play more of it today. But yeah, it's fun. And then, I'm trying to think of what comes out soon. I guess the next thing won't be till Assassin's Creed on the 5th.
That's like a week away, almost weekish, week and a half.
Yeah, week from now. It's coming Friday.
It's super close. Yeah, like a week and a half.
Yeah, and I'm a. I have to go somewhere on the 6th, which is Saturday. So there won't be any podcast that weekend on October. But so I'm taking the 9th through 15th off. Just cause I was like, yeah, I just want to take a couple of days off, take 5 days off. So I think I'm gonna, cause Assassin's Creed comes out on the 5th, and then the third season of The Man in the High Castle comes out as well. So ooh. I won't be able to play any AC over the weekend, at least not till I get back on Sunday afternoon, and then I'll just be like, go to work Monday, and then have Tuesday through Monday off, and I'll just play nothing but AC and catch up on Man in the High Castle.
Nice. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I look forward to that. That should be pretty good. Yeah, all right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode since there wasn't too much else to go over. Hopefully, we'll see if any of these rumors for PUBG, all that stuff come out, what happens. But if today is the last day of Tokyo Game Show, maybe we'll get some surprises. But all right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Zai, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Bye.